Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to First Unitarian Church of Alton. My name is Robin Crane. I welcome you into this community of hope, reason, and transcendence. Here we seek wisdom beyond our own experience. And here we open our loving minds to the mystery of wonder and the moral imagination. Here we transcend the day-to-day of our lives to seek for truths that are both meaningful and sustaining. And here we seek to offer a loving message that provides wholeness in a broken world. Here we seek to apply reason to our understanding of our world. We are Unitarian Universalists. I offer a special welcome to any first-time visitors. If you are new to our church, we invite you to fill out one of the visitor cards found in the back of your gray hymnal and place it in the offering plate or give it to an usher. We'll be happy to send you the church newsletter for 3 months so that you can see what's going on at the church. We're glad you're here, and we hope to see you again on Sundays or on midweek activities. And we have a nursery. I see one baby back there, and there is another baby in the nursery. It's for infants and children under the age of 4. You go through these doors out into the hallway, and it's the first room on the left. One of its newest occupants is Michelle Bryant Barbeau's little baby, but he was kind of sick this morning, so she didn't bring him, and I told her that was the price of admission. Our religious education program begins when we bless our children on their way to their classes and concludes about 11:30 while we're having coffee. When waiting, we can enjoy coffee and conversation in the worker room. At the front, we have a spirit chair for those people who need to move their hands while they're thinking and contemplating the wonders of the world. So you're invited to go to that spirit chair anytime during the service and take an activity back to your seat, and the children can do the same. Children and youth are encouraged, though, to attend the religious education programs when we sing and bless the children later in the service. We welcome everyone into this home of comfort, spirit, justice, and hope. Now for some announcements. First thing, cell phone and tablet signals interfere with the sound system. So if you want the service to go smoothly so that we don't have trouble with the sound system, I would advise turning off your cell phones, not just muting them, but turning them off. Now, many items are needed for the personal care distribution coming at the end of the month. I think it's on the 25th, fourth Saturday. We've had 35 to 50 guests every fourth Saturday for the last several months, and supplies are getting kind of low. You would be amazed at how many people want toilet paper and laundry detergent every week or every month. So we've put a shopping list on the buffet out there, and you can just grab a shopping list to take home with you and keep it in your purse or your wallet if you intend to go shopping to buy anything for fourth Saturdays. And we've been telling you that you could bring things into church on Mondays and Fridays because those are the only days that Becky, our office administrator, is here. But that's a long way for some people who live out of town. So Mary Johnson suggested that we indicate that if you're living over on the other side of the river, you might bring something to Mary's house. There's Mary. If you're living on this side of the river, you can bring it to my house or Sabrina. Is it okay if we could drop it off? Okay. And we're both in Edwardsville. And of course, if you're living in Alton, you'd rather come to the church here. But if it's easier for you, bring things then. And I got to say, the people, our guests, really, really enjoy having hot coffee and hot cocoa and cookies and stuff, rather than having to stand out on the street and wait and freeze. And I had a really good suggestion last week that worked. I was surprised. One of the things we do very quietly and surreptitiously is make condoms available, just if anybody wants them to take them. And some guy took some, and he was thinking about taking some more, and I kind of made a crack, which could have been very undiplomatic, but it worked out okay. I said, you know, we don't want any more little babies having to suffer in the cold out there. And he said, oh, and he turned around and went back and got some more condoms. So maybe it does some good. Ruth Maskow wants you to know that there's going to be no seekers meeting today. And we want everybody to attend the mission and vision workshop after the service. The sign-up sheet for trivia night is now back in the worker room in here. I always feel the need to tell people this does not mean worker, W-O-R-K-E-R. It's worker, W-U-E-R-K-E-R. Named after somebody famous, I'm sure, Mary. Okay. I just often wonder whether new members wonder what we're doing with a worker. Okay, good idea. We'll try to do that in the future. This trivia night is a major fundraiser for our church, and it's open to everybody, friends, neighbors, just strangers from the community. So please consider joining us on April 22nd. We're giving you plenty of time. Plenty of advance notice. It's only $10 per person. It's family friendly. We'll have child care provided. And hopefully it will not be like Allison's last trivia night where they wanted to know the nicknames of all of the high school football teams in St. Louis. And living in Edwardsville, she didn't know all of those. So we hope this trivia night hits something that we can handle, because I'm notoriously bad on trivia. If you have any questions about trivia night, please talk to Mary Weber or Mike Schmidt, right there, or Ruth Maskow, over there. Okay, and Mike Schmidt also says, we need your input. Come to the Mission and Vision Workshop on how to carry out our mission. We would like to end by 1 p.m. today, but we will go no longer than 2. So if you're very efficient, we can be finished by 1, and there will be snacks out. Okay, and if you wish an announcement read on a Sunday morning, just write it out on paper and put it in that basket up there, and we'll check every Sunday morning to see whether there's something that needs to be added. Now, let us calm our minds and rest in the beauty of another prelude played by Nicole Robbins. If I'd known that was coming, I wouldn't have said calm our minds. That kind of wakes you up. Ben, we need you to light our chalice. Our chalice words, we have it here. Yeah, it's up there. Our chalice words are by Kate McPhee, and it's called Light is Returning. And here comes the light down the aisle with Ben. Around us, Light is returning. It rekindles the spirit of life in the skeletons of trees. It brings forth new shoots from the soil. It wakes us from our winter slumber and invites us to see what lies beyond. We light this chalice in the spirit of our Earth's awakening and to reaffirm our commitment to the values of our home.
Out of the Stars, a hymn text by Reverend Robert Weston, is our call to worship this morning. This is the wonder of time. This is the marvel of space. Out of the stars swung the earth. Life upon earth rose to love. This is the marvel of man, rising to see and to know. Out of your heart cry wonder. Sing that we live.
Our opening hymn is number 1059 in the hymnal, May Your Life Be As a Song. We have a video of Jim Scott playing and singing the song, which you may have heard before, because I understand that even before I joined this church, Jim did a concert here. So listen to him, and if you find something that seems familiar, sing along.
And may your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn. To sing, awake the light, then softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night. It can be around now.
Is the time that the adults in the congregation always wait for, the children's story. It's an all-generational story, and this one is particularly lovely. Whoops, it's called When the Wind Stops. Did you ever wonder where the wind goes when it seems to stop, or the sun or the moon? Well, Charlotte Zolotow has written a book about that. It's called When the Wind Stops. It has beautiful, whimsical artwork by Stefano Vitale, which ought to appeal to Sabrina, because I think that's a good Italian name, right? It starts with a little boy looking at the sun. The great, bright, yellow sun had shone all day, and now the day was coming to an end. The light in the sky changed from blue to pink, to a strange dusky purple. The sun sank lower into the long glowing clouds, and the little boy was sorry to see the day end. He and his friend had played in the garden. When they were tired of playing, they lay down in the grass and felt the sun on them, warm and soft, like a sleepy cat resting. There had been icy lemonade in the afternoon, which they drank under the pear tree. And the little boy's father read him a story on the porch before he went to bed. Now his mother came to say goodnight. "Why does the day have to end?" he asked her. "So night can begin," she said. "Look." And she pointed out the window where, high in the darkening sky, behind the branches of the pear tree, the little boy could see a pale sliver of moon. "That's the night beginning," his mother said, resting her hand on his shoulder. "The night with the moon and stars and darkness for you to dream by." "But where does the sun go when the day ends?" the little boy asked. "The day doesn't end," said his mother. "It begins somewhere else. The sun will be shining there when night begins here. Nothing ends." "Nothing?" the little boy asked. "Nothing," his mother said. "It begins in another place, in a different way." The little boy lay in bed, and his mother sat beside him. "Where does the wind go when it stops?" he asked. "It blows away to make the trees dance somewhere else." "Where does the dandelion fluff go when it blows away?" "It carries the seed of new dandelions to someone else's lawn." "Where does the mountain go after the top?" "Down to where it becomes the valley." "Well, where do the waves go when they break on the sand?" "Sucked back into the sea, into new waves." "Where does the rain go when the storm is over?" "Into clouds to make another storm." "And where do clouds go when they move across the sky?" "To make shade somewhere else." "Now there's somebody who needs shade." "And the leaves in the forest, when they turn color and fall, into the ground to become part of new trees with new leaves." "But when the leaves fall, that is the end of something," the little boy said. "It is the end of autumn." "Yes," his mother said, "the end of autumn is when the winter begins." "And the end of winter?" the little boy asked. "The end of winter, when the snow melts and the birds come back, is the beginning of spring," his mother said. The little boy smiled. "It really does go on and on," he said. "Nothing ends." He looked out at the sky. The sun was gone completely. The lovely pink clouds had disappeared. The sky was dark and purple-black, and high above the branches of the pear tree shone clearly now a thin new moon. "Today is over," his mother said. "It's time for sleep. And tomorrow morning when you wake, the moon will be beginning a night far away, and the sun will be here to begin a new day." The end. Okay, now I hope you enjoyed the story. and it's time for the children and the teachers to leave for their classes as we sing, Go Your Way in Peace.
Go your way in peace, wander as you may. Blessed is the path you take, may love guide you on your way. Go your way in peace, wander as you may. Blessed is the path you take, may love guide you on your way.
Our reading today is a chosen from a book called A Chosen Faith, An Introduction to Unitarian Universalism. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it. It's a nice little easy book by John Behrens and Forrest Church. That book prints a letter by a British novelist, whom we all may know, D.H. Lawrence. This is what Lawrence wrote. I believe that one is converted when first one hears the low, vast murmur of life, of human life, troubling one's hitherto unconscious self. I believe one is born first unto oneself, for the happy developing of oneself, while the world is a nursery, and the pretty things are to be snatched for, and the pleasant things tasted. Some people seem to exist this way right to the end, but most are born to humanity, to a consciousness of all the laughing and the never-ceasing murmur of pain and sorrow that comes from the terrible multitude of brothers and sisters. Then, it appears to me, one gradually formulates one's religion, be it what it may. A person has no religion who has not slowly and painfully gathered one together, adding to it, shaping it. And one's religion is never complete and final, it seems, but must always be undergoing modification. Now it's time for us to share in stewardship. Our own spiritual lives are filled up. Our own hearts are warmed by the giving of time, talents, love, comfort, and our many other human resources. We each receive from this church the opportunity to explore meaning, purpose, and value in our lives. Does the financial contribution we make here reflect what we receive? How does our collective money transform those within and beyond our congregation's walls? This morning's offering will be most sincerely and gratefully received. May it be lovingly given.
Please join in reciting the unison the offering blessing. To the work of the church, which is weaving a tapestry of love we call community, we dedicate ourselves and these our offerings.
We regularly take time to recognize the joys and sorrows, the celebrations and struggles of this community. We do this by taking a stone or stones from the bowls as we enter at the back of the sanctuary, or else from the bowl up here in the front on the chancel. We allow the stones to focus our awareness on those things most important in our lives. And then we place the stones in the cleansing waters of this community, part of which has been collected during our annual water communion service. If you have joys, sorrows, celebrations, or struggles that you wish to recognize, you are invited to come forward now in a ritual of joys and sorrows coming down the right-hand aisle.
The seventh principle of the Unitarian Universalist Association affirms respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. By embracing the ancient webs of water and community together, we recognize the sacredness of all our experiences. May those who delight share their joy. May those who struggle no support. May we all know love.
Got your drum. There's a very simple chant in the Green Hymnal, number 1072, called Evening Breeze. Nicole will play it through once. Then Michelle will join her with the drums for the second verse. Let us sit while we're listening to that, and then when the third verse comes around, let's rise and sing three more verses. Maybe somebody might even have enough nerve to try to turn it into a round, but I'm not gonna try that. The words will, maybe Michelle, she loves that. The words are up on the wall here, so Nicole first, then Michelle joins, then we'll stand. Isn't it?
Heartbeat and breath. How simple, how portable. Our lives are accompanied by a soundtrack, the heartbeat, the breath. It sometimes gets lost in the chorus of activity and thought, but it's there. Waiting, available for our attention. And so I invite us to pause and give ourselves a gift to listen to our faithful soundtrack. Breath, heartbeat, accompanied by drum. You'll hear the sound of, maybe. You're going to hear my drum change when it's time to come on back. So just enjoy. Get comfortable. Move into a state of meditation, relaxation, prayer, connection, each in your own way. We are a miracle.
Hello.
How are you? Music inspired by Hamilton, the musical. We'll revisit that in a moment. So first, hello and good morning, First Unitarian Church of Alton. Thank you for another invitation and letting me stay when I did not bring my son. I have missed you. So the season of spring is upon us. As confusing, full of blizzards and sweaty 70-degree days as it is, this time of year is fondly filled with Easter celebrations, and among the Earth-centered ilk, it may be called Ostara, or the spring equinox. Some folks just can't wait to dress in pastels, put on their shiny shoes, and head outside to do things like Easter egg hunts. Historically, I peek my head outside, observe those Easter egg hunts, enjoy the extra vitamin D, and then haul it back inside. It's not that I'm not friendly with this time of the year. It's kind of a dark and redeeming portion of the Easter mythos, but the narrative is really just overpowered by the pollen that is wrecking my sinuses. And well, there are just so many kids everywhere. Also, at times it feels like everyone's just touched with a little bit of spring fever that's turned into frantic. And by the time I get to an Ostara ritual, I gotta tell you, it just feels a little theologically light. More like a picnic with bubbles and rabbits and scavenger hunts. While I, in spring fever fashion, feverishly take as much allergy medicine as medically allowed. Hard pass. But, like D.H. Lawrence said, ours is a religion, never complete and final, always undergoing modification. And after many years of more or less just tolerating this time of year, I approached it again. So I'm some sort of pagan variety, that I want something deep and meaningful and spiritual and life-changing, that mountaintop experience. So, let's talk about themes of new growth and cleaning and new starts that just didn't really spiritually fulfill me. It just felt incomplete. And like my house, quickly was no longer so clean. The spiritual fulfillment, even though Freakonomics radio podcast, which I heard on NPR, it featured a show on October, 19th of 2016, called In Praise of Maintenance. And it spoke to the issue. Maintenance just isn't that sexy. Marie Kondo gave it a go, and I tried the life-changing magic of tidying up. and it did do a good case for me and a more lasting state. And though it did help my cluttered house and mental state, okay, we're moving forward, it didn't have the spiritual lasting power, mountaintop experience that I was looking for. My floors are clean, though. So nonetheless, I gave the themes of Ostara, the ones I could find, a chance. I cleaned, I cleared, I moved outdated personal beliefs away, and did useful but unflashy adulting better than ever. You know, my laundry can go from the wash to the dryer in the same day. It's still there today, though. Occasionally, I cook from scratch. I made gravy from scratch, people. That used to be a packet that you open and shake and add water and heat. And I've done this. I feel like the miracle has happened. Then the miracle happened. So this slide is my son, Elijah, the one who is at home, sleeping and not feeling well, as babies sometimes do. He's my spring sunlight. Spring takes on a different feel now that he's here. He was born last March, and I'm not saying that I'm suddenly a kid person. That goes deep. It'll take a while. But in the things I needed to move and shift and clear in order to get to the place that I would willingly lean into motherhood, some new mystery started showing up. Motherhood in and of itself is a mystery, and it's beyond classification, and I lost all words for months. It was me and him. Oh, and his amazing dad. But that wasn't the whole thing. That was not the entire mystery. It wasn't actually the full theme of spring, the part that I'd been missing this whole time. Spoiler, the punchline is love. Now, please let me be clear. You do not need to be a breeder in order to get this. I have been blessed with epic amounts of love in my life, the love of mother and father, the caring of brother and sister, the faithful chosen love of longtime friends, mi familia, my amazing husband, his family, heck, even two cats at home. And we all know cats do not oblige and automatically love those who feed them. I'm just dense, that's it. So it took a lot of examples. But you're a bright bunch. You won't need as much. So as I continued to struggle with this weird mystery that didn't quite expose itself, because I'm dense, it kept coming in waves and unexpected places. Unexpected. Like Hamilton. Any fans? Okay. Thank you. Yes. Someone mentioned all the words. It's in my car CD right now, okay? And I'm trying to commit every single word to memory. Yes. So, thankfully, you don't have to be a cult following to get this. So Hamilton is the very popular and award-winning Broadway musical, and it's about this unlikely topic of the first U.S. Treasury secretary, named Alexander Hamilton. And his life, alongside the fledgling nation of these United States, and his ultimately fatal rivalry with another important figure, Aaron Burr. Spoiler, he dies at the end. And yet, Secretary of the Treasury, like maintenance, not really sexy, although he tried. One of the things that brought this to the height of popularity is it's a multi-ethnic cast, a hip-hop heavy soundtrack, the song we heard earlier that I was up here dancing to, Adulting or Not, I Cannot Stop That. That was actually not just the soundtrack, but a mixtape. And those of you who actually made mixtapes where you like held a microphone up to the radio after you called and requested your song and played these things together, and then DJs would take them and remix them and make response or fan art with it. And so there's a whole nother soundtrack that's about the original one, for crazy fans that are committing every word to memory. Okay. So besides the multi-ethnic cast that leans really heavily towards people of color, which I just adore, on this slide, we've got a gentleman in a lighter colored shirt looking like he is not gonna give up his shot. Looking off into one direction, that is our Alexander Hamilton. In the background, looking slightly disturbed, very determined, and equally as ambitious, is our Aaron Burr. These two foil the entire time. Love, hate, friend, foe, eventually, disastrous conclusion. And yet, there is a portion of this same show that just after the Revolutionary War, both men pause and sing about this amazing moment of new parenthood. Aaron Burr begins it singing about his daughter, whose name is Theodosia. Mr. Hamilton is singing about his son, Philip. And so if you know this one, feel free to sing along.
Say to you, you have my eyes, you have your mother's name. When you came into the world, you cried, and it broke my heart. I'm dedicating every day to you. Domestic life was never quite my style. When you smile, you knock me out, I fall apart. And I thought I was so smart. You will come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you, and you'll blow us all away. Someday, you'll blow us all away. Someday, someday. Ooh, Philip, when you smile, I am undone. My son, look at my son. Pride is not the word I'm looking for. There is so much more inside me now. Philip, you outshine the morning sun, my son. When you smile, I fall apart, and I thought I was so smart.
My father wasn't around.
My father wasn't around.
I swear that I'll be around for you. I'll do whatever it takes.
I'll make a million mistakes.
I'll make the world safe and sound for you. We'll come of age with our young nation. We'll bleed and fight for you. We'll make it right for you. If we lay a strong enough foundation, we'll pass it on to you. We'll give the world to you and you'll blow us all away.
In today's political climate, along with the new little human in my home and heart, this song cracked me open. I was all in my feelings, as one says. One of my hang-ups about being a mother was fear of losing myself and buying into this unhealthy narrative that all of the rest of myself, this multifaceted, shifting constantly identity, was supposed to fade completely into the heavy, relentless title of mother. And yet, even this morning, and it's been routine, so little man is not feeling well today. Even this morning, the very first thing he does is with exaggerated dramatic movements, he gets up and claps. I want to start my day like that. When I watch Elijah experience the world, I fall willingly into experiencing it with him. What has happened instead of losing myself is I've opened up. There's so much more inside me now. Okay. Another unlikely source. Neil Gaiman's short story, How to Talk to Girls at Parties. I really do enjoy the way mystery works. I was visiting my local library, looking for something completely different. And this beautiful short story that originally appeared in a short story collection has also become a full hardback book. That is, I believe, is actually coming to a movie screen as well. So it's continuing to expand. In this, Neil, in his weird and wonderful way, begins the narrative of a boy and his friend going to a party, a house party. There's girls there. One can always speak to girls, has a great time. The other, the main character, the narrator, not so much. I'm not gonna spoil it, but it is Neil Gaiman, so it gets weird. There's a couple of passages from that struck me enough to put down this little unsuspecting book and start writing. One quote, you cannot hear a poem without it changing you. They heard it, and it colonized them. It inherited them, and it inhabited them, its rhythms becoming part of the way they thought, its images permanently transmuting their metaphors, its verses, its outlook, its aspirations, becoming their lives. Okay. With just my issues around motherhood, that would have been terrifying. So something else was still bubbling to the surface. I gave the book another chance. I kept reading. One of the characters asked, "Would you like to hear it? The poem?" The narrator says, I nodded, unsure what she was offering me, but certain that I needed anything she was willing to give. She began to whisper in my ear, "It's the strangest thing about poetry. You can hear Homer's Greek without understanding a word, and you still know it's poetry. You can tell it's poetry, even if you don't speak the language. I've heard Polish poetry and Inuit poetry, and I knew what it was without knowing." Her whisper was like that. My spiritual life has been flashy, deep, and rich. I have plenty of mountaintop experiences. I have a plethora of them. Again, miracles. This is good. All of that had gone silent. And even in the midst of this delight, my son and I, the duo, the dyad, becoming two separate individuals experiencing life together, I missed it. I missed that flashy spiritual life, the whispers in the wind, the counting of crows. I missed it. Then I realized I was longing for it because I had missed it. The soundtrack was continuing. The spiritual excitement was there. And even though I didn't speak this particular language, this new version, perhaps since I have shifted, my ears have shifted. Perhaps my body has shifted. So the message comes through in a different way now. So after I got done being drowned in allergies and being overwhelmed and eventually got a little sleep and eventually woke up and was like, okay, I can stop staring at the child. He will not disappear. I noticed the quiet. I got really quiet again. And I had thought the quiet was because of that momentous thing that was birth. Then I thought the quiet was because of this momentous creature, this new human that I got to hang out with all the time. But the quiet stayed. The poem, the song that's actually singing in the background, it's life. The thing that turns down to from a 10 down to about a 2, 1.5 in winter, cranks way up in spring, and we all go mad with it. It mellows in the summer. It shifts in the fall. The love is not of a thing. Even the tiny human that I feel very, very accomplished that I made, that has nothing to do. His life, his being, his individuality has absolutely nothing to do with me. All I did was shepherd. I was just the portal. Hopefully he'll let me hang out with him. And yet, this song continues. It's life. I have fallen in love. I have fallen in love with my friends and family.
Oh.
Fallen in love with that near toddler who, by the way, sleeps splayed out sideways in my bed. Yes. I've fallen in love with the fascination and the curiosity he has. I've fallen in love with the ocean that is life, that each and every one of our relationships, big and small, internal and external, are trying to point out. Hey, come on, dense one. Here it is again. Here it is again. Here it is again. Maybe spring, multifaceted, multi-layered, as individual as the individuals. Maybe that could be something it's trying to say. There is just so much. And it's a mystery, so all we can do is turn towards it like a flower to the sun and open up. Blessed be. Our final hymn today is When the Spirit Says Do, and it is 1024. So this is one of those, another kind of one of those upbeat ones. So feel free to rise as you are able and willing and sing. It is in our teal hymnal, and also on the screen. We'll click it through. So yes, please be seated as we extend our chalice. In unison, please join me. We extinguish this flame. In benediction. Look around at how lucky we are to be alive right now. Look around. Life is messy, complicated, and like religion, always undergoing modification. Thank goodness. Sing the song, Elevated by Springtime. Would you be willing to sing it with me one more time?
May your life be as a song, resounding with the dawn, to sing awake the light and softly serenade the stars, ever dancing circles in the night.
Thank you. May you be blessed. As Nicole plays our postlude, let's adjourn for coffee and then reassemble for a visioning session. Thank you for being here today.